steps up. Thompson with the steal. Across the line. Haskinen catches up, but so does Power to Thompson. Scores! That was magic! Teamwork by the Sabres. They're up 3-0 in the third.
Dan Dunleavy on the call with your game-winning goal. Owen Power to Tage Thompson. The give and go, the blast, and that's your game-winning goal for Buffalo that put them up 3-0. And the goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. Welcome back here to KeyBank Center in the press box. Brian Colsey along with Pat Malacaro. Paul Hamilton's outside the Sabre dressing room. We'll get reaction from the room. Coming up in just a few moments, Sabres improved to 3-4-1 on the season. On the night when the NHL has every team in action, Buffalo beats one of the best teams in the West, the Dallas Stars, by a 4-2 final. All right, locker room reaction coming up. Lindy Ruff's post-game comments. But Pat is here, and Pat, the Sabres made it interesting in the final minutes. I know they didn't want to, but for 55 minutes, I thought they were definitely the better team.
They were, and then Dallas pulls the goaltender. Sabres unable to capitalize a couple of times before Dallas gets their first goal, and it's a bounce that goes the Stars' way, but the Sabres didn't panic. Dallas gets another goal. Tyler Seguin scores. Sabres never panicked, able to, in just the final couple of seconds, get the game winner, or a little insurance, I guess.
Yeah.
The Sabres were the better team all night long, and you know, took an empty net and situation with an extra attacker for the Stars to actually get sustained pressure consistently against the Sabres team.
They had opportunities with the empty net, including Dylan Cousin a couple of times. Twice. He is snake bitten right now, still looking for that first goal.
Yeah, one in tight. Another one wasn't as easy, as he was shooting from his own red line and missed the net on both. So one higher degree of difficulty, but you're right. Could have really ended the game right there and left a little doubt for Dallas. But you look at who gets points tonight. Peyton Krebs gets his first goal of the season. Somebody that you maybe are looking to get a little more out of if you're Lindy Ruff this season. Owen Power assists on each of the first three goals of the night as well. On a night where the Sabres' penalty kill was very good again, and they killed more opportunities than they had power play chances. So, Power had a big hand in the offense. All the scoring for the Sabres outside of the three of the four goals come 5-on-5.
Yeah, Power was excellent. Three assists, named the first star of this hockey game. And that play with Thompson that we just heard the highlight of, I mean, that was really, really a skilled play. You're running and gunning with Thompson here, and he put it perfectly for him to hit that one-timer, which we know is tough for a goalie to stop when it's in the perfect spot for Thompson to unload on it.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but he made basically the home run pass that allowed Jason Zucker to gain the blue line and then set up Ryan McLeod. So a couple of different ways he did it tonight, but those were two excellent passes by a young defenseman who is going to, he's going to have his struggles as he comes into his own, but this was definitely a game that Owen Power excelled in.
Yeah, and there's a lot of the defense tonight that I thought shined. I thought Rasmus Dahlin looked the most mobile and the most quickest and the most energetic and the most playmaking, I guess, is, I know not the right phrase, but you know what I mean here. Like, he looked like the playmaker that we've seen him do in years when he's been at his best.
I think it was worth pointing out, and Paul Hamilton mentioned it on the pregame show prior to the network joining tonight. Dahlin was dealing with an injury at the start of the season. Is he finally getting healthy to the point where, he's not limited or nothing is really holding him back? And maybe he is.
Yep. Tage Thompson got the game winner. He's up first, live with Paul.
Tage, I know they got the two goals, but we can basically say from start to finish that was a pretty good effort for your team all the way through.
Yeah, it was. I mean, obviously 6-on-5, they got two towards the end there. Sometimes, teams are going to come out with some desperation at the end of the game. They're a good team. They find ways to win games, and that's why, they're successful. And obviously we did a good enough job, throughout the entire game that we gave ourselves enough of a cushion there, and obviously like to have those ones back, but what a great spot to put ourselves in, and being in that situation, being able to take that away, that win, and everything we learned from it is big for us, and it's a lot of confidence moving forwards knowing that we can close out games like that.
They're such a stingy team. How were you able to get those three goals against Oettinger?
Yeah, we knew that heading into the game it was going to be one of those nights where you just had to wear them down. I thought the
with Tage Thompson. Hopefully we can regain that, as Thompson was about to talk about how they were able to get those goals. And, you know, being around Jake Ottinger has been a really, really
zone.
We got Tage back.
Anytime you can head into the third with a 2-0 lead, that's always nice. So I think we had them back on their heels for majority of the game. Obviously, they made a good push there at the end, but Oopie comes up big with a lot of saves, and you know, everyone out there blocking shots too is big time.
Your goal looked like you were building towards something. It looked like you're going to eventually score. Can you kind of like take us through what happened on the play?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like our line was playing well tonight. Had a lot of chances. Tough to beat Ottinger. Their back end blocks a lot of shots too, and makes it tough to get to the net. So. I think on that play, you know, it was a great quick up by Tucky, trapping a few guys, and had a rush where their gap was a little too big for them, and heard OP coming up the ice, hit him trailing. He makes a great, you know, cross ice pass to me for 1T, and I think, you know, with a goaltender like Ottinger, anytime you can get him moving across the, you know, middle of the ice two times is going to be tough for him to get back, and that one felt good going in, and gives us a nice cushion.
How big was that third one, though? I mean, going into that third period?
That was Tage Thompson. We got Ugo Pekka Luukkonen across the way here. Ugo, when you get that many block shots like that, I think he had 10 by the middle of the first period. How does it help you out? Because it didn't seem like they were the type of blocks that are going to wind up in your net. I mean, it seemed like the guys were in good position, good to block the shots. How much does that help you?
Yeah, it helps a great amount, and I feel like helps me and it helps the team, you know, first and foremost. I think it's, you know, just Bill's character, you know, it's it just, you know, helps the team to kind of, you know, keep the energy up when we do those kind of plays. And, you know, it was just great to see how hard we battled today.
I know they got two at the end, but still, you guys never gave up. It wasn't because it was lack effort on your part. One was a lucky bounce. It's a 6-on-5, but it just seemed like from start to finish, you guys from top to bottom gave a really good effort in that one.
No, I think so. Last 5 minutes, we kind of got scrambly there because of the 6-on-5, and maybe couldn't get the clears we wanted. But, you know, it doesn't matter in the end if we win the game. That's all that matters right now, is to get the 2 points. That's kind of what was the problem in the first games, is that we couldn't close the games down. And I think we did a really good job with that today in the end.
You obviously enjoy playing the Dallas Stars. Last year you had a heartbreaker. I think it was a 1-0 loss. You played as well as you can play, and you couldn't get a win out of it. It has to be satisfying to once again play as well as you can and get a win out of this one.
Yeah, I mean, they're a great team. They're a really good goalie. You know, they're not going to give the, you know, points away for free. So, you know, this feels good. It always feels kind of, feels good to beat a team that is, you know, started off hot. And, you know, kind of build the confidence of the team, too.
We saw it last year. The more you play, the better you get. And, again, you got two consecutive games here for the first time this year and had another really good game just like you had the last one. It seems like you're really feeling it right now.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes it easier as a goalie. I feel like it's easier when you get starts in a row. And, you know, in the end, it's up to the coaches to make those decisions. I said that, you know, I want to play as much as I can, as does any other goalie in this league. You know, just right now, the biggest thing is to win the games, as I said. So, you know, hopefully we can keep it going.
You made the saves that you had to make on the penalty kill, but why was the penalty kill so good today? You killed those three very well.
I feel like it goes to the same category as the block shots. I feel like everybody was, you know, kind of, you know, took pride on, you know, playing hard today, doing the right things, just kind of, you know, getting at guys. And, you know, I feel like that kind of, you know, there's a lot of things that we did right, great today, which, you know, don't always, you know, just get to the highlights. But, you know, as I said, I appreciate the blocks, and I feel like that was kind of contribution to towards a good penalty kill too.
Thanks, Ugo.
Thank you.
Ugo Pekka Luukkonen in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Luukkonen was named the second star in this one, 29 shots, and did let in two. Back to the room, Owen Power with Paul.
The impact he had on the forecheck, it just seemed like he was going to get one.
Yeah, I mean, I think that line was really good all night. They created a lot off the forecheck and turned a lot of pucks over. So, yeah, obviously when you do that, you're going to get your looks, and when he's getting his looks, he's going to put them in.
What worked for you guys in the second period? It felt like that was probably one of your best periods.
Yeah, I think we just didn't give much, and we kind of took advantage of what they gave us. So we were playing fast, playing simple, and just making smart plays.
Is it as easy as that, just keeping it simple? Because sometimes it, you know, it sounds like it's easy, but is it that simple?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're making the plays that are there, instead of trying to force nicer plays, it is, I mean, that really what it comes down to is keeping it simple and not trying to force anything, which I think we did that. And when you do that over and over again, you're going to be in a good spot.
Even though you guys didn't convert on the power play, do you feel like that one gave you guys momentum? You scored not long after that, and you guys really strung some good shifts together.
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, I think created a lot of chances off of that, especially that first unit. Had probably three or four good looks, and I think when you're doing that, like you said, it brings kind of energy to the team. Whereas if you're not really creating anything, it kind of drains everyone. So I think it was great power play for not scoring, and definitely gave us that push.
How much energy did you guys get from the two penalty kills that you had early in the game? You didn't give up much on those. You had a lot of block shots. How much energy did you guys get from that, and how did you kill those penalties? What went well?
I think, like I was saying with power plays, with penalty kills, when you kill penalties and you block shots and you clear pucks, it creates a lot of energy for the team, and is obviously huge for the morale. So, I mean, they did a great job. Like you said, blocking shots, getting clears when they have a chance, and also denying their entries.
On your pass to Tage, that have to be almost, you have to do it perfect timing. I mean, you see him over there, but to get it through, get it in his wheelhouse, does it almost have to be perfect timing?
I don't know if I would say perfect timing, but you definitely got to get it over there. And I think with him, you just kind of throw it in an area and he's going to hit anything. So luckily it was a good spot for him to hit, and he put it in.
Malenstein, Krebs, they go to the net on that one. You just basically get the shot towards the net. Malenstein deflects it, and Krebs is right there. Are those the types of goals that we talk about that you guys need to get?
I think you guys have probably all heard it. We kind of came into the year wanting to score more dirty goals, and I think when you look at that goal, it's a definition of a dirty goal. I mean, two guys at the net and just banging away at a rebound.
What does a win like this against a team like that do for this team? I know you just been beating the Chicago Blackhawks, but this is the Dallas Stars who, given up, 1.5 goals per game. They had one loss all year. What does this do for your confidence?
I think it's, huge for the team. I mean, anytime you get a win, it's huge to be able to go and do it against one of the best teams in the league. I think it's huge for us. Obviously not the start we wanted, but I think with that win, we know how good we are, and hopefully we'll go on a little run here.
Thank you, Owen. Owen Power in the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, there is Owen Power with Paul Hamilton. Three assists, first star. We mentioned Luukkonen was star number two. Peyton Krebs, star number one. Hey, we know everybody plays tonight in the entire league, but if you just look at the standings, hurry up and look right now. Hurry up and look right now before some of these other games go final. The Sabres are in the wild card spot. There's two wild cards in the East. So, take out your phone or your lap, whatever you're listening to right now. Click on the wild card race. Hurry up and look. They're one of the two wild cards right now. Now, everybody's playing tonight. So, likely somebody's going to pass them because some of these games, they're playing each other. Somebody's going to pass them. But right now, if you look, the Sabres have 7 points. And the first team on the outside is six. So, hurry up and look before it goes away. Take a screenshot. Yes, they are in it as of this moment. So, what do they say? Stop the count, right? Yes, right now. that's what you got to have. Sabres, points percentage-wise, are not in the wild card spot because they've played 8 games. But in terms of pure points earned right now, they are in that wild card spot. All right, 4-2. We are going to wait here for Lindy Ruff. He's going to be coming to the podium shortly. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take as well here. But let's get in some highlights from this one. Luukkonen was great, I thought, for this game here. That first goal that went in, just a bounce that he didn't even see. But we want to get to our save of the game to start off our highlights here. Second period, Luukkonen coming up big as the Stars put on some pressure.
Sing puck, Kulik can't make his way up on that rush. Stars will bring it in. Oh, what a save by Lucan in there. Rebound! He makes another stop over with the right pad. Hearing it from the fans at KeyBank Center, keeping the game scoreless.
And that was Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, one of his 27 saves, and the save of the game is brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. All right, as we keep going with the highlights in the second period, here's where Buffalo gets their goals going. They've scored two in a minute 23. The first coming from Peyton Krebs as he's standing right on the doorstep.
Byram up top for the one-timer. That one tips high off the bar, scores! Peyton Krebs on the rebound. 1-0 Sabres.
Krebs from Malenstein and Power, 12:21 mark, 1-0 Buffalo. And as I said, less than 2 minutes later, they're at it again. Power sends Zucker and McLeod up on a 2-on-1.
And now the Sabres are the potential 2-on-1 with the speed of McLeod to the net, scores! McLeod turned on the Rockets, drove to the net, and it's 2-0 Sabres.
All right, it's 2-0. They go on to win it 4-2. Here is Lindy Ruff live.
Yeah, a little bit of a tough break at the end where the first one went off something and found its way in. And then we didn't really defend very well through the neutral zone on the second one. But that little bit doesn't mar the fact that I thought we played really well all night.
Let's talk about Ryan McLeod's
You know, we're trying to play a fast game. His skating through the neutral zone, finding, you know, open ice has led to a couple of his goals. I thought his penalty killing was excellent. He's played very well for us.
Lindy, how much is a win like this coming off the win in Chicago? And now you're 3-1-1 instead of, like, how much does this help validate the message and the style of game that you want to play early on in the season?
You know, I think we had a good preseason. We suffered a couple tough losses. I think when you deal with losses like that, the adversity can make you stronger, and I think it's making us stronger. I think one indication is number of blocked shots to try to help win a game tonight. Some of our tracking back and getting people back and disrupting, you know, a really good offensive team. Another indicator. I thought after the first period, the discipline to not take any more penalties was excellent. So just a lot of good things.
What allowed you to, you had 10 block shots by 10 minutes. What allowed you to get in position to get those block shots?
Just a bigger commitment to being in the lane. You know, we've talked about, you know, when you're going out to the defense, we need to be in the lane. If you miss on that, the second layer, which is a defenseman or a centerman down low, I thought they did a good job. You know, commitment. There's a lot of little stuff that helps you win a hockey game. That was a tight hockey game. You leave the period 0-0. You know, and you get a goal by going to the net, and, you know, Peyton knocked that one out of midair to get us going. And then I thought just another quick answer right afterwards that, you know, put them on their heels.
What did you think of not only the goal by Tage, but just that shift that he had leading up to it that he ends up finishing with that?
Yeah, you know, I think they're, you know, I've talked to the team about, you know, how we need to play when we're leading, and I've just sensed we were playing a little bit too safe. We talked about getting back on our toes and playing in the offensive zone and getting on them and trying to create turnovers, and he was the one guy on the bench that got vocal and just said, you know, we got to start making some plays, and I thought he took charge. So, you know, that's what you want to see out of the leaders on your team.
Cindy, when you talk about blocking the shots, how fine is the line between getting in the lane to block it and causing deflections to get on goal?
I'll take the shot lane anytime over the deflection, because 90% of them, if it hits you, isn't going in. So that fine line is, you might have a misfortune. I don't know, haven't looked at the first goal, but I know it went off something. But if you look what Greenway did to try to make sure he denied that puck getting to the net, down sideways where it could hit him anywhere in the body, that just tells me there's a guy that wants to win.
What was the message to your team the night before the game?
Play with a lot of passion, play with a lot of determination. Win the small games, the 50-50 battles, the wall battles. just come with emotion and come with intensity.
You know how you want to play, but how much, how important was it for you to get some affirmation, to get these guys some results so they see what can happen?
I would just say that we've seen it. We haven't been rewarded every night like the LA Kings game. It wasn't, I mean, the LA Kings game probably offensively and defensively was a better game. And we didn't put the puck in the back of the net. The Florida game, we followed up with a big game. Game one, there was a lot of good stuff in game one that, again, we didn't finish that hurt us. I like the fact now we're making that next play that, you know, that Thompson goal is just a great indication. The Zucker, too, you could shoot. The whole crowd could yell, shoot, shoot. But if you're going to shoot, the goalie's making the save, made a great cross-ice pass on both of those goals. So that then we're starting to make the next play, which, you know, I think early on I probably, if I wanted one guy to shoot, probably would have been Kulik when he got in tight. But just a lot of good stuff in the game.
The secondary scoring, I mean, you know, the way they created the goal, the Krebs goal, and then Ryan getting on a roll here. I mean, how significant is the secondary scoring?
I think it's important to any team. And we've seen a little bit now. Malenstein goal in Chicago, and now Krebs getting us started. McLeod, you know, again getting on the score sheet. So, you know, the strength of a club is if you can get, you know, scoring and good defending out of every line.
You talked about details of the penalty kill a couple of days ago. Did you see that? And especially the first period with those two kills, not even allowing a shot.
I thought we did an excellent job with the details. I think one failed clear that got us in a little bit of trouble, but I thought positionally really sound, didn't give up the big opportunity. And again, guys were doing a really good job of being in lanes and denying. You know, they walked to the middle a few times but didn't see anything and forced them outside. And I think our defense, with how long their sticks are, did a great job of getting sticks on stuff.
Coach, only to see Owen Power play with the kind of control and headiness that he plays with that he had tonight.
I thought he really skated well, made plays, like he got up ice. And then defensively, I thought he made a lot of little plays down low that allowed us to break the puck out, you know, not spend a lot of time. You know, I think I mentioned just the puck support and getting open for each other, that it's all connected. You know, when you see some of these long passes, the puck support isn't great. I thought our puck support down low to make that next play and get out of the zone was something that we got to continue to play like that and work on.
On Owen Power, before the season, you said he needed to be quicker with his decision-making. Do you see that developing?
He's really working on it. He's working on, you know, trying to shoot quicker in the offensive zone. He's working on trying to make quicker plays through the neutral zone. And, again, sometimes when you're under that much duress defensively, it's just realizing where your out is, that if we're locked into our system, sometimes you don't know if he's there, but he should be there. And that's the important part for our club.
Speaking of working on things, the power play tonight did not score again, but what did you say?
I liked it. I liked what we set up. I thought we had, you know, two or three good looks. It'll come. We'll get one by the end of the year. Thanks.
All right. Lindy, again, just always love hearing from him. It just sounds like how Sabres post-game should sound. I feel like, you know, we need to hear Ryan Miller's take on this game now, too, but just good stuff. You always feel like you learn something from him. And he says, yeah, we'll get one by the end of the year. Great moment there. You can laugh when they win, of course. Yeah, he can laugh when they win. 4-2 the final. Sabres victorious tonight, and they don't play again until Saturday. So an opportunity to rest up, be fresh. You can come back with Lukanen if you want again, as the Sabres will take on Detroit Saturday at 1. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame show at 12 on Saturday on our flagship station, WGR. All right, for all of our affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. When we come back, we'll get you some more highlights. Paul Hamilton's take on this one. Sabres win it 4-2 over a good Dallas team. I'm Brian Colziel. More coming up from KeyBank Center. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Into center. Alex Tuck breaks it up. He's got an empty net from Tage Thompson. Alex Tuck scores! Turn out the lights. The Sabres say the party's over. 4-2 with 10 seconds to go.
Alex Tuck's third of the year from Thompson. It made it 4-2, and that's our final. Dan Dunleavy on the call. Welcome back to the postgame live here at KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel, Pat Mellicaro, and Paul Hamilton, who we'll get to in just one moment. But if you're in your car driving home from KeyBank Center, we appreciate you listening. Your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. Sabres don't play again until Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock against Detroit. Again, the Steve Foley Law pregame show will be at 12. Okay, down to the media room, and Paul Hamilton. And Paul, I think Lindy Ruff said probably what I think we should start with. Yes, you know, the ending was not what he wanted in terms of how it finished and got tight, but doesn't want to really mar what was an overall very good night against a very good team.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm not the least bit worried about them giving up those two goals. One was a lucky goal, just went in off somebody. Not much you can do about that. But I thought, from start to finish, I thought it was their best game. And, you know, that's three home games in a row now. They've played pretty well. And now they're 3-1-1 in their last five. You know, so, maybe it is starting to get through to them because – you know, they played two really good home games, and then they played a good first period in Pittsburgh, and then that went to you-know-what. Mm-hmm. And then Columbus was bad. And then Chicago, they got out to a 2-0 lead but had a very bad second period and was 2-2. But the thing you had to like was at the end of the second period before it ended, yeah, they had played poorly, but they found a way to score a goal to take the lead again. And I think that vaulted them into the third period. Yes, Lukanen had to make some good saves in the third period, but I thought overall they didn't give up too many bad plays to Chicago. They found a way to lock that thing down and win the hockey game. So, and they're scoring goals. I mean, you get three goals, you got four, but you get three goals on the goaltender against the Dallas Stars, you've done something. I mean, it's the first time all year they've been behind by two goals. They came in with a goals against average of 1.5, which is best in the league, and just a huge save percentage. And you come out and you score three goals on them, and you get two goals early in the second period that were midway through that were 2:23. Teams don't do that to the Dallas Stars, but the Sabres did. And coming into the game, we talked about that in the last four games coming in, they went from the worst scoring team in the league to the last four games, they were the second best. They had scored 18 goals in those four games for an average of 4.50, and that was second best in the NHL. So they started figuring out how to score goals. The line that's supposed to score goals has been doing it on a very good pace. You know, Thompson now has five. Paterka has four. Tuck has been getting assists and points, and he got the empty net goal. McLeod, I mean, did you have on your bingo card that he was going to be on a five-game point streak and a four-game goal streak? Probably not. But, his speed is just getting him open, and it's getting him to places where he can score goals. Where is he hanging out? Around the net. That's something that Lindy Ruff had talked about, and something that's totally different for this hockey club right now. You know, they look at the goal that Krebs scored. I mean, Power shoots it. Malenstein's in front. He tips it off the crossbar. And who's standing in the crease? Peyton Krebs, like a baseball player. Hits it out of the air. Bang. You've got a goal. Your first goal of the game. So you score first. And those are the types of plays that they made. I was thoroughly impressed defensively how they were playing. Lukanen made big saves when he had to. The penalty kill, that was the best by far penalty killing we've seen all year. They really weren't in too much trouble at all in their penalty kill. We talked about in the first period, they had 10 block shots by the 10-minute mark. I mean, they were getting in lanes. They were blocking shots. Power was just fantastic in this game. I mean, not just because he had three assists, that of course is part of it, but defensively,
how the plays he was making to kill plays. And Lindy Ruff talked about how he was, you know, getting pucks up ice to get the breakout. The transition was fantastic with his team, and power was a big part of that. So was Byram, you know, the pair. So, you know, the defensively, this team was nowhere in Pittsburgh and Columbus, and a little bit in Chicago even. You know, Lucan had to make some big saves. But they certainly turned that around against a very good Dallas Stars team.
For sure. And, Paul, they could have gotten frustrated, too, by having those opportunities in the first and maybe early second and, you know, not cashing through. But they stuck with it to eventually get that two-goal lead, as you mentioned, two quick goals there. And in the middle of those goals, remember, too, Dallas had a three-on-one. I know you mentioned power. You mentioned Byram. I thought Dahlin looked his quickest he's looked all year. And also Joakim Harju is a part of breaking up that three-on-one. So the defensive group tonight, in many facets, contributed to this win.
Well, Joakim Harju played very well last year, had his best season. Nobody notices because he doesn't hit. And you know this town, if you don't hit and fight, you're no good. But Joakim Harju, I think, showed last year that he definitely can be a top-four defenseman. He was one of the few guys that did improve last year. There weren't too many. Paterka, him, Lukanen, Bryson, they all improved last year. So, and again, you know, he was a big part of this one, just breaking the puck out, being hard to play against. He wiped out a couple of guys along the wall to stop plays and get things going the other way. So, you know, I really liked his game a lot, and I've liked his game since last year.
Paul Hamilton with us here on the post game. Sabres victorious 4-2. They now are 3-4-1 on the season, and will play Saturday against the Detroit Red Wings. Paul, the one power play the Sabres had, we know that's been a storyline for the season. They still did not score, but I thought it was the quickest puck movement that I've seen. Lindy said he seemed to like it too. I loved, he got it, obviously joking at the end there. He's like, we'll get one by the end of the year. But I thought that was at least the quickest puck movement I've seen from the power play unit.
From my angle, I thought they had one. I thought the puck was going in. It was headed that way. And I said to Sarah Nexmeyer, there it is. And it grazed the post and wound up going off the other side, you know, so, you know, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do about that. So I really thought that was going to be, and I kind of thought this is, I think we talked about it, this is the game where you're playing the best penalty killing team, the best defense, your power play hasn't scored. That's the game you're probably going to score in.
Yeah.
And they didn't. I thought they were going to, but they didn't. But it very often will go that way, and they almost did. As I said, I thought that puck was headed for the net, and it kind of veered off, grazed the post, and went out the other side. So, the power play, I think the last two games has been a little bit better, but better doesn't count. You got to start putting the puck in the net. But right now, you know, they came in with 18 goals in four games. Now they have 22 goals in five games and put a four spot up on Dallas, which I don't think, again, you were expecting. I don't think you predicted that.
Nope.
Before the game.
Paul, we can obviously talk about maybe what Kevin Adams should have done this offseason to improve the team. But what he did do is bring in players like Malenstein, Zucker, McLeod, they're contributing. They're making the Sabres harder to play against. They're better at faceoffs. They're tougher in terms of, as you mentioned, you know, winning battles, that sort of thing. So that portion of improving the team is definitely noticeably better. And even McLeod's offense, you know, we noticed the speed in the preseason games. That's starting to become a real finishing factor, too.
Yeah, and a guy like Obe Cabell might be back on Saturday. Well, who comes out? I don't think it's Peyton Krebs. He was the one that was out when Obe Cabell was playing. I think he's played very well, so I don't think you pull him out of the lineup. You don't pull Malenstein. Maybe it's Lafferty. I haven't really hated his game. I'm not saying that because I think he's played poorly, but I think when Obe Cabell's ready to play, he comes back in. So it's interesting who comes out. When does Benson get back in? You know, does he have to wait for an injury to get back in? Because, again, I don't know who you're going to pull out. Do you pull out Kulik? Or, you know, do you let him continue to develop? I haven't hated his game.
No.
So it's going to be interesting as they get healthier. You know, who are the guys that might come out? And he might get more injuries. He might not even have to make decisions. Who knows? But that's what you want. You want competition. I felt that improving the bottom six will make them better. I thought it has, and they have shown us it has. But on the other side of that coin, too, I still think they needed a top six forward. Now, you'd say after the last five games, are you sure? You know, Kevin Adams said, you know, he's totally confident in the scoring. After the first three games, it's like, really? They had three goals in three games. You know, after that, as I said, they've played five games and have 22 goals. So, you know, do they have enough scoring? You know, that's, again, that's a question that too early to answer one way or the other, and we'll find out. I'm still think they needed a top six forward. I haven't changed my mind, but we're still early in the season. We'll see.
That update on Obey Cabell and Benson, part of our injury report, it's brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. All right, Paul, well, we don't have game action until Saturday against Detroit, and there's still a ton of action tonight. Every team is playing, part of the Frozen Frenzy Day, so if you want to go home and watch some hockey, if you get your article written, you got the Vegas-LA game doesn't start till 11 at night tonight. You got lots of games to watch.
Well, we got to get the website figured out first, got to get an article up, and then we worry about if we can stay awake for an 11 o'clock game.
All right, Paul, do your best. Talk to you Saturday here.
Take care.
All right, Paul Hamilton here on our post game, 4-2 the final, as the Sabres improved to 3-4-1 on the season. And as of this moment, Pat, they are one of the two wild cards. It likely will change because of some of the scores you're going to give me of games underway. But if you want to look right now, everybody can look at your standings on whatever app you look at or whatever website you look at. Sabres are sitting tied with Boston for the top wild card team. How about that?
Yeah. I'm speechless.
I know. That was a quick turnaround from Prague. Now, again, pay no attention to the games played column because that then ruins it, because points percentage-wise, they are not the wild card. I'm fully aware of that.
Right, but yes. With the way that the Sabres have played games in bunches, they're not as far ahead of a lot of teams. They've played eight now, but with everybody playing tonight, like the Maple Leafs, I don't think they've gone final yet, so they'll have played seven by the end of tonight. Tampa Bay's only played six, but the Devils have already played nine games. And that was Buffalo's opponent over in Prague.
Pittsburgh and Montreal are already at seven.
That game is a final.
Yeah. You're going to have Ottawa get to six. The Islanders get to six. So, yeah, I mean, most of these are either just two or one.
Right, so it's not as
and you're not going to play till Saturday. So all these teams are probably going to play either Thursday or Friday coming in. So it'll be either tied or down to one game. And, again, somebody's going to pass them at some point tonight or tomorrow. But, nevertheless, at least it looks – even just, you know, walking out of here after that Kings game when they were 0-3 and in dead last, and you're sitting there saying, here we go again, at least – I'll call it a semi-recovery.
Well, because you've gone 3-1-1 since then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the question we had going into that Kings game was, when were you going to stop the bleeding, so to speak? When were you going to get that win, especially coming out of that game? You can't go on the road and, you know, make this a 6-7-game losing streak. The Sabres have avoided that. And just picking up points now and trying to do it in bunches against, I think, a Detroit team that probably on paper going into the season is probably better than you. You're probably expecting to have to fight your way up to them to get one of those wild card spots. So that's an important game on Saturday beyond the fact that it's early in the season and you can add 2 points to the column. It's against a team that you're probably going to be fighting against to get one of those two wild card spots.
That's right. All right, we will get you some final stats here from the game. But first, we were talking about all these other games. Let's see what's going on with the scoreboard here as we go to Pat here for one more around the league.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your Border Attorneys. We'll start with the Red Wings. Only one goal with 2:41 to go in the third period. Detroit up 1-0 over the Islanders. South Buffalo native Patrick Kane with his first of the season, helping Detroit out to that 1-0 lead again. But now 2:14 to go in the third there. Midway through the third period in St. Louis, Three goals in the second period for Winnipeg by three different goal scorers had the Jets up over the Blues 3-2. Just about to start the third period in Chicago where the Canucks double up the Blackhawks 4-2. Joel Kiviranta, two goals. Nathan MacKinnon, his third of the season, the three goals for the Avalanche as they lead Seattle 3-1 through 40 minutes of play. 5.5 to go in the second in Nashville. Ryan O'Reilly, second of the season, the only scoring. Predators, 1-0 leaders over the Bruins for the moment. Also, the Oilers with two from Connor McDavid. He has three on the season now. They lead the Hurricanes 2-0. Ottawa scoring four times in the opening stanza against the Utah Hockey Club. The Senators out to a 4-0 lead through 20 minutes of play. Also, the Flames, a 1-0 edge over Pittsburgh. They've played 20 minutes. Just about to drop the puck in Anaheim between the Ducks and the Sharks. One game yet to go tonight is the Golden Knights hosting the Kings. Jack Eichel already 10 points in the season, 8 of those assists as well. And the finals from earlier on, the Capitals and Flyers got tonight's action underway with Washington, a 4-1 winner over the Flyers. 5-1 the Wild defeat the Panthers tonight as well. Earlier tonight, it was announced that Paul Maurice has been signed to a multi-year extension to remain behind the bench for the Florida Panthers. Lightning, 5 goals in the second on their way to a 8-5 victory over the Devils tonight, while the Rangers score at least 4 goals for the 6th straight game to start the season on their way to a 7-2 romp of the Canadiens, and the Blue Jackets 6-2 winners over Toronto. Maple Leafs falling tonight to Columbus. And one note from local college hockey just across the street tonight. Canisius with a 6-3 victory over Mercyhurst. Golden Griffins will host Michigan State coming up over the weekend. So a lot of hockey to be played tonight. A conference game for Canisius before they have two games this weekend here in Buffalo.
All right. So a lot of hockey. And as I mentioned to Paul, we can go home and watch some here, which is great. Let's get some final stats in. Brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. As we look at the final stats here, shots end up 29-25 in favor of Dallas. In net, Lukanen gets the win, 27 saves. Ottinger, the loss, 21 saves. Now it's our Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. Both teams 0 for the night. Dallas 0 for 3. Yes, Sabres 0 of 1. The attendance here at KeyBank Center, 13,014. And your three stars, Peyton Krebs, star number 3, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, star number 2, Owen Power with 3 assists, star number 1.
Be curious to know how much of the offense helped with the defensive side of things and vice versa for players like Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, who we talked about being active tonight, because that's such an important part of the game. When you build confidence at one end of the ice, it can translate to the other side of things, and seemed like everything tonight up and down the Sabres' defensive core really leading from maybe the back end out helped kind of guide this team tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal that Dallas scores is that fluky one that pops up in the air. I mean, they did have some good possession there when it was 6-on-5 for sure, which, you know, you've got a man advantage, so that can happen. But other than maybe, you know, I wouldn't even call it a complaint, but maybe the biggest negative of the last few minutes is that they still can't hit the open net. Dylan Cousins is snake bitten. He had 2 good looks at it.
Yeah, it took
hit the post, I think, on one of them.
He did. And it took, you know, Tage Thompson made a nice play in the neutral zone to get the puck to Alex Tuck to finally salt the game away in the final couple of seconds. But you're right. You would have liked to have had maybe Cousins score, and it's 3-0 or 3-1 then, or 4-1 or 4-0 at that point. So you basically have salted the game away if you get the goal earlier and you don't have those moments of like, uh-oh, one bounce and it's a tie game.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, that was the real, you know, there was the concern, and you could feel it in the building when it got to 3-2. And I looked at you, Pat, and I said, there's still over 2 minutes left.
Right.
Like, look at, I mean, the possession they've been able to get with just...
It was nearly 6 minutes of 6-on-5.
Yeah.
So I'll give the Sabres credit there, and they were essentially down a man for over 5.5, nearly 6 minutes to end the game tonight. And, yes, end up net minus a goal, but end up coming away with a win.
Just a couple of other individual stats to pass along. Jordan Greenway, 5 block shots. Connor Clifton, 5 block shots. This 10 between those two combined. Pretty impressive. Krebs, who we know had a goal, 6 out of 7 on faceoffs, 86%.
And that's the thing. We talk about it a lot. everybody has a role. And when you fill out your complementary pieces, not everybody has to be a top six scorer, because how many times have we sat here saying square peg in a round hole? You've got a player playing up maybe on a line that they're not necessarily suited for, or in a spot that they're not suited for. That's the difference, I think, this year's team. Yes, they did lose 25 to 30 goals in Jeff Skinner, and how do you replace that is going to be a question probably most of the year, unless they can keep up this pace.
Yeah.
But the balance is what can help this team overcome some of the challenges they have their way.
And we mentioned it, I think, to start postgame. I thought that was the best Dahlin's look tonight. He led the team in shots with 5. Cousins, again, active, noticeable, 4 shots. Still needs to score, for sure. But you mentioned it, I think, during the second intermission about Dahlin maybe being as close to 100% finally. We know he missed virtually almost all of training camp because of an injury.
Right, and then Ryan McLeod gets his 4th goal of the season already.
Yeah.
So that's a guy that you acquired in a trade, identified in the offseason of helping round out your, quote, bottom six, and he's contributing so that your stars can figure things out and add that complementary scoring.
All right, so good night for the Sabres against a very good team in Dallas, and Buffalo will obviously try to do it next Saturday at 1 against Detroit. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame at noon. Pat, thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Put a wrap here on things from KeyBank Center on our postgame. Want to thank you for listening. And our crew, TJ Luckman, back in our Amherst studios, our network producer. Thank you, TJ. Pat Mollicaro here, anchoring at KeyBank Center. Paul Hamilton, our reporter. Tom Matty is our engineer. Shopa the Bulldog on the pregame. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray, my name is Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. Again, the final, it was the Sabres 4 and the Stars 2. Enjoy the rest of your week. We will talk to you here Saturday at noon for the Sabres and the Detroit Red Wings, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.